Morning. Welcome to the roundtable this morning for this Monday, the 22nd of February. Very nice to be back. Very nice to have you with us. And special thanks to Ray Graff for filling in so beautifully last week. And again, nice to be
here. He was fun. We liked
nice
to talk
and he was really beautiful. He really was. He just was stunning.
We like to torment him. That's nice. Well, I'm glad you share it.
We kind of got crazy on him a couple times, and you could see his eyes getting wider and wider.
Well, Friday seemed like quite a show.
Oh, well, Friday was quite a show. I got into a lot of trouble.
So I heard.
Good. You deserved
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I got into a lot of trouble because
Roselle must have given it to you.
She said she didn't know which way she felt. She's a loyal person. But basically, as you all remember, this had to do with the way in which Williams College had treated a potential speaker and disinvited him, despite the fact that a black student and his organization had invited this guy who was described by many as a racist. So all my liberal friends, like you guys, got involved and said, well, we get to decide, you know, about freedom of speech. You know, you were wrong, and I was right, and I will continue on that until freezes over.
I love the way you characterize our argument. I don't think we should get into it again.
It
was a deficient argument.
All right, so let us, first of all, let me remind you that all you have to do is go to roundtable at WAMC.org. We love your letters. And we would we'd love to hear what's on your mind this morning. Let me get.
I got really into one letter. I have to say, someone wrote to us, and I wrote back twice. You know, screenfuls of stuff. It was a good discussion. But I realize how totally into all of this political stuff I've gotten. I need to take a break.
Well,
and by the way, in both cases, I wrote to you,
right,
to the person saying I love and respect Rosemary.
I appreciated that too.
Yeah, well, I feel very strongly about that. You're a star here.
We like the discussions.
Yes,
we like
and somebody took me to task for the grandpa thing.
For the what?
Calling Bernie Sanders grandpa.
Well, I would take you to task for that since I happen to be a grandfather and B, it's the same age as Bernie.
Yeah, well,
Bernie's combing his hair now, I notice. It looks very nice.
Not every time. No,
I don't. He was on TV this Sunday.
He looked like the madman of Chaillot the other day.
Okay, all right. We've sort of run away from each other.
So let's get into the, what happened over the weekend since we last met on Friday, of course, was the South Carolina primary and the Democratic Nevada caucus. And in South Carolina, Donald Trump won. And so now, there's many things that we can talk about in this. But first, so hold on the Jeb Bush talk. We'll hold on that for a second. And let's talk about how it looks now with Donald Trump winning in South Carolina with the historical fact that no candidate has ever become a nominee for president without winning New Hampshire and South Carolina.
You probably should explain, because I find this very confusing, that both of these contests, Nevada and South Carolina, were only one-party contests.
And then they switched.
And then we're going to have the flip of it this week. Yeah.
Yes. So South Carolina was Republican.
Right.
Nevada was Democratic. And then next Saturday, we flip.
Right.
It was strange.
Kind of nice to see Saturday voting, though.
Yeah, it was. It's a very
good
idea.
We got a letter on that, by the way, saying, wouldn't it be great if we could do Saturday voting for, you know, for the general elections, too?
Well, other lesser democracies managed to do that. Why can't we?
Yeah. Well, because somebody will say it's their day of worship on either Sunday or Saturday.
Right.
Which is that you certainly can pray and, you know, and pray and
evangelicals do it all
over
the country.
That's why you can vote on Saturday in South Carolina, because there are no Jews in South Carolina.
Well, you could do Saturday, Sunday voting, and then you pick the day.
Yeah, you could.
Everybody has their own way of doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So, but there will always be somebody to object for
something. Okay, so here, political discussion.
Yes.
All right, I'll start it, and then you guys jump in. Yeah. I think Trump's got it. He's had two out of three wins, and those wins were massive, huge wins. So why is it so important to figure out who's going to contend against him? Isn't he in? Why should we not be planning for him as the Republican nominee?
I'm sorry, Rosemary. He actually answered that when he got up to give his winning speech. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, what everybody was thinking. He said, well, you know, there are those people out there who are saying that if you added up everybody else, then they beat me. But he said, if they're out, I'll get a lot of their votes, mm-hmm. he said. And I think he's right.
For Cruz, for example.
Yeah, right. You know, frankly, just as one man's opinion, watching Marco Rubio, I thought he delivered a nice sort of speech. And then watching Cruz, I did not think. I thought it was sort of, I don't know, everything he says seems to be mean-spirited to me. So yeah. I don't know.
We don't like Cruz. Most people don't.
So one of the things that has been discussed is that if you have this three-way split and you battle and Cruz wins a state and Rubio wins a state and Trump wins a state, then it does become prolonged. But that seems to be less and less of a possibility than it was a month ago, right?
Right. I think right now Trump's got it.
So did you ever think that would happen?
No.
I didn't in the beginning, that's for sure.
Me neither.
You could go back to the tape and find that out.
How about you, Libby?
I didn't think they'd allow it, but I guess the Republican establishment, no longer has a grasp.
Well, we're getting a lot of mail on the Democratic side about what the, you know, these official delegates could do. But they're not going to mess up that way, because then the Democratic Party will look, you know, bad.
Bernie has no worry about
this. Rosemary, would you like to share your homework with us?
Yes, I did. According to the New York Times right now, Hillary has 502 delegates to 70 for Bernie. He has a steep climb. It's not impossible, but it's a steep climb. And March 1st, when we have Super Tuesday, yep, and 11 states go, you have 880 delegates at stake. And don't forget, we're aiming for 2,383. So that's where it stands. But Bernie himself is not concerned that the superdelegates will hurt him. No. It's true that if the popular vote goes his way, which seems increasingly unlikely as we go on, those delegates will give their vote support to him. It's not a closed system where they're forbidden by the rules to go.
No.
It's an insurance system for the party, right, that the Democrats won't end up with a Trump. Republicans ought to look at having superdelegates.
And you know, some people are complaining about this, like the New York Times railed against it this weekend. And the fact of the matter is, this is the party rules, and this is the rules that people in the party agree to. And so this is the rules that we are working by, for at least for this cycle. If they want to change it moving forward, then they'll change it. But this is the deal. And so we can't complain and be crybabies about the superdelegates.
Not that we're calling Bernie a crybaby.
No, but it is what it is, because those are the rules right now. If the rules change, the rules change.
I'm so sorry. I couldn't disagree with you more.
Well, that's nice, but that's the reality of the situation.
I'm so sorry. Well, the reality is that since the rules... let's be pragmatic. There are other names for that. And when...
And which are what?
I'm not going to use a Rosemary word on the air.
I don't use that anymore either.
Which one?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. Yeah. We'll tell you
later.
They're
calling my boss and saying, oh, she's using bad language.
Oh, so, oops.
Okay. So anyway, but the point really is that, Libby, what you're really saying is that it happens to work for Hillary. I happen to be for Hillary. Therefore,
no, if it were the other way as well, it would be. It is. It's the rules.
Here's the deal with Hillary Clinton.
And
this is.
One other thing is.
Oh, sorry.
Bernie's not a Democrat. So for him to complain about how the hasn't changed his party affiliation, and he's running for the Democratic nomination to be president of the United States.
You are a Democrat in this country when you say you're a Democrat. That's when you're a Democrat.
No, you're a Democrat when you enroll as a Democrat.
You're a Democrat when you say
Here's
you're
the thing.
A
Hillary wants this. She is ambitious in the good sense of the word. And so she looked at the system and said, this is what I have to do to win. I have to win superdelegates. She hired people to figure out how to do that. She wooed them. She's worked on it for a year. And her system is paying off. She knows how to work the system, which, by the way, is the major reason I want her as president.
Have you all noticed
Bernie, on the other hand, comes in and says, I don't like the system. It's unfair. And we're going to throw up the smokescreen. It's like tilted and it's like slanted and we got to stop it. That's not the way you govern.
You guys are getting rather boring about all of
and
your
so are you.
Your officious, pro-Hillary stuff. Speaking for the young people in this country, and as I am, you know, mentally young,
I have to
say it's astounding how many young people came out with the demographics of this election.
Well, actually, all of my students want Bernie. It's amazing to me.
Actually, new reporting, also in the New York Times and in the LA Times, shows that turnout is huge for the Republican side. The Democratic side, you're not seeing an increase in voter turnout.
Of actually getting them to the polls.
Right. Young people, the millennials who love... I had a big argument with a 10-year-old who knew all the Bernie's talking points. Great kid. He doesn't vote.
He should vote.
Well, I asked my students... How many of you are registered?
Why are you getting in arguments with 10-year-olds?
Well, you know how it is.
You are so right. I am completely out of control. When I left there, I go, oh, my God, what's wrong with me?
You should be encouraging them.
I find that when 10-year-olds speak eloquently, it's generally... I remember one time when a very young child walked over our land from next door and said, where's Roselle? And I said, Roselle's... somewhere else. And he said, Roselle's very fashionable. Now, what I thought about that was, this is not what a 6-year-old says. This is something that one heard in one's house.
This child was telling me that Hillary was evil, bought by Wall Street. And
listening to the Fox News talking points.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I did. I got all cranked up. So I'm pulling back.
Well, okay. Here's the deal. I asked my students, how many of you registered to vote? They all raised their hands. How many of you vote? 3.
Yeah.
3 out of 30.
Yeah. The voting record at UAlbany is so so terrible that, you know, officials in the area have looked at what can they possibly do to get people to vote.
If you don't show up, you don't get to complain.
Well, some of them used to worry not about how to get them to vote, but
how not to get them. Right. Well, I worked to get students the right to vote in their college communities.
I remember.
And then they don't necessarily do that.
I have thought about whether it's, is it acceptable, is it moral to require students in a class in the fall to vote?
No, you can't.
You can't do that. Yeah, you can't do it, but you understand the compulsion to want to do it.
Well, some countries, they put a gun at your head and they say you got to vote.
Right. Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Jeb Bush and his dropping out of the race. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost 3 decades. ShannonRose.com. Berkshire Stringed Instruments School of Lutery, Windsor Mill, North Adams, Massachusetts, working to guide students through hand-building guitars, mandolins, and ukuleles. BerkshireStringedInstruments.com for class registration. And from the Center for the Digital Arts in Peekskill, located in the Downtown Arts District, with a makerspace, with 7 3D printers, a post-production studios, courses in UX design, and more. SUNYWCC.edu for spring registration.
Bit of a palate cleanser there, Rosemary. Thank you.
We'll have a rival suit on it. Some of this gets out.
Piece of floss going from ear to ear.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. And so one of the other things I wanted to hold that discussion just for a second. And so let's now talk about, of course, the other big news this weekend out of South Carolina. Moments after Donald Trump was proclaimed the winner, or the projected winner, and then became the winner of the South Carolina primary, Jeb Bush got up and said, enough, and I am suspending my campaign. And we were talking about Donald Trump a few moments ago and saying that nobody, but I remember discussions 2 years ago of it's going to be Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. It's going to be Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So there are a lot of things about this, and one of them that I don't think we've talked about, I don't think it's been talked about a lot. I don't think we've talked about it a lot. But I'm fascinated in is the fact that he spent $100 million. And what does that buy it now?
Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, of course, it has been talked about, what was it, in Iowa, that it was $7,500 a vote or something like that?
Mm-hmm. No, no. It isn't that he spent $100 million. It's that people buying into his presidency spent
$100 million.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. $100 million. And why did they do it? Because they wanted something back for it. Now, those people are the ones who really are crying the blues right now. Jeb. It's not Jeb's money.
This isn't even the first time, Alan. In the last Clinton sweep of office, tons of money, unprecedented amount, had been put in for his Republican opponent, and it did no good. So at a time when we're very worried, I think rightly so, about Citizens United and the influence of big money, it doesn't seem to be winning.
You know, Rosemary, I've been hanging around Albany for too many years. And I know these people, these lobbyists who direct money to various politicians. And inevitably, you know exactly what they want. We know what the real estate industry wants. Mm-hmm. You know, they do it. Mm-hmm. And then, by the way, they're equal opportunity in some cases. They give a lot to everybody. Mm-hmm. And they expect that when the time comes, there's honor among thieves and everybody will pay off and they'll do what they're supposed to do. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in your thoughts on this, Rosemary. You lived in Florida. You covered Jeb Bush as a governor. And I know throughout this time, the year and 4 months that he has been running for president, that you said this is not the guy that you covered.
Yeah, I am. He's wonky. He's uncomfortable, churlish, terrible with the press. Somebody described his dealings with the National Press Corps as the way he handled the State Press Corps, as if that were a lesser being. I thought there were some great reporters, and Jeb was really popular with them. He's a smart, smart guy, but he's come off in the national press as a wonk. And that's you saw that even when he brought his brother and his father to campaign
and
with
mother.
Him
le-
and the mother. Yeah, last weekend. These guys are, I don't think W is as smart as he is or had the grasp of government.
Well,
but W was so comfortable. He had the crowd in the palm of his hands.
Just,
that's
the, way,
a natural,
just the way Trump does. Mm.
Trump does too. And Hillary also does not. She's no Bill Clinton when
well,
she campaigns.
I think one of the big problems that Bush faced was that he kept changing his message. If you change your message, if all of a sudden you say, okay, I got to go further right, and you do, you look disingenuous. You don't, I actually like the guy, and I do. And
yeah.
I liked his persona as opposed to the other guys. But wasn't to be because he was too malleable.
I don't think he got the family thing right either. The fact that he's part of a dynasty, in the same way that Hillary has had to fight against that, did not work for him. He tried to defend his family, and he just kept getting tripped up over that. Do you remember back in May when Fox, of all things, asked him, you know, would you get involved in the Iraq War the way your brother did? Now, that's a really easy answer. You just say, knowing what I do now, no, of course not. It took him weeks to get to that.
Yeah.
First was, no, I defend my brother. I love him. He's the best guy in the world next to my father. He could not do both family loyalty and stand out on his own.
And
that
hurt. And you notice in the victory speech by Trump, he did not say anything good about Bush, because Bush was the perfect foil for him. And he's been very clear about his views on the Iraq War and how crazy that was.
Trump?
Trump has. Yeah.
Well, at first he was for it,
then
he was
against it.
According to his own record, But anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, he certainly said stuff that I liked about that. And, and if Bush is not there, well, then you got to figure out some new arsenal for the other guys.
Well, apparently he's starting Rubio now. It's not eligible.
I think
what's that
and
thinking?
Cruz will be plenty much in the Trump target range.
I see suggestions this morning that he'll choose Rubio as the vice presidential nominee.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back to this discussion. We welcome your letters. We have quite a few. We'll get to those as well. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post make up the panel this morning. We will be back and continue our discussion after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post. To make up the panel, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. We have a lot of letters. We were talking about South Carolina, Jeb Bush, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton. Alan, go ahead.
Jeb Bush has suspended his campaign, says Skip. Does this mean he won't be eligible to be drafted at the GOP convention if things get funny there? Of course he could.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's exactly what he meant. Okay. And Joni says, a piece of trivia, when Pat Leahy became the U.S. senator in 75, is currently the longest-serving senator. He was the first Democratic senator from Vermont ever. Bernie Sanders, we consider him a Democrat now, is only the second Democratic senator from Vermont ever, in addition to being the longest-serving independent senator from anywhere in the U.S., I believe. And that's from Joni. Bill says, hey, folks, love the Roundtable Show and everything on WAMC. Did any of you catch Harry Shearer's late show yesterday afternoon to listen to the off-mic recordings of Morning Joe and his platinum co-host reviewing town hall softball lob questions with the Don during breaks of their town hall show? Listening to the late show recorded clips, I could not tell if both Joe and his co-host were both wearing bright red lipstick when they were kissing up to Don. Have a great day, and let's go, Bernie.
That's become pretty controversial. Joe, Morning Joe, is great, good friends with Trump, has been for a long time, and so is she. I can't say her last name.
Mika Brzezinski.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you. You guys fill in for the radio.
Just
people
go back
to
Carter.
But,
just yeah. channel yeah. Jimmy
but,
Carter.
But it's a big new.
Yes, it's a big new. Right. But at any rate, they're biased, and it's they say, oh, no, we're really
biased.
Completely fair.
Morning Joe is biased? How can you say that?
He's very pro-Trump.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, probably. Well,
you know, Morning Joe is not on my favorite list.
No. I watch it just to scream at the TV.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, people do that here, too. And Nancy says, bye-bye, Bernie. And Jamie says, funny thing about the Trump is that the more he talks, the more he sounds like a Democratic platform. Hopefully the Republican constituents won't notice until he has secured the nomination. The Fox News viewers have been well trained to not listen to the facts. Look like the dog will bite the hand that feeds it. And Flit writes, I'm 77 years old, retired school librarian. I vote in every capitalized election and school board activity. It is my duty, capitalized. This time my hope is that Hillary will be the first female president. Okay, there you go. Elizabeth writes to us, a quiz for your students. What is the difference between going to the polls and responding to polls? Uh-huh.
You mean like exit? There was controversy
it
in...
was tongue-in-cheek. I see. You get it?
Yeah.
Well, they really weren't.
There was controversy in Nevada because the either entrance or exit polls showed that the Latino vote was going heavily
entrance polls.
Okay, you know about this. We're going for Bernie when, mm-hmm. in fact, the results were just the opposite. Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. Michael says, Trump changes his message after every day, Alan, and look what he's doing. Okay. Ramon says, Bernie is as much a Democrat as Hillary is a New Yorker. They are well all like... other politicians seeking national office, self-serving opportunists. Some have the view that those that genuinely care about the betterment of the nation volunteer in soup kitchens or firehouses and the like, rather than get into national politics. That's Ramon. And Megan says, hi all, please brainstorm about how to get young people to vote. I live in a college town. I was amazed at the lines in my polling station for the first Obama election. I know I'm in a little valley of activism, but how do you get people to care, especially in Massachusetts? Well, I've been spending my life trying to figure that one out.
Yeah. I wish I had some answers to that. Yeah. That's a good question.
Okay, here we go. Oh, boy. Let's go to Ozone Pete. Happy Blue Sky Monday, folks. First, Rosemary and Libby, the superdelegate rules are wrong and subvert democracy. Secondly, we like a convention about corporate contributions that expect payback. Look at where Hillary's money comes from. And
same
place David,
as everybody else's.
Right.
Well, no, everybody. I mean, I have a feeling that more people will give to Hillary from certain institutions, well-known institutions in the country, than they will to Bernie, who they have to see as a guy who has, you know, been out there campaigning against
Hillary's it. Hillary's getting money from individuals, too.
Yeah.
You know.
And
well,
in fact, her campaigners are upset that she's not emphasizing that more. You'd think from the publicity that it's only Bernie getting the small donations.
Right. Okay. No one mentions, says Dennis, how Obama won in 2008. Ted Kennedy took on the Clintons. Lots of Democrats breathe a sigh of relief since Clinton started foundations and used capital to reward and punish Democrats. That's from Dennis of Saratoga. With regard, says David, to Libby's comment about there are no Jews, being no Jews in South Carolina, I wandered into a kosher bagel restaurant outside of Charleston. A pleasant surprise. Oh,
that's good. But the owner's Jewish. You don't have to be Jewish to eat Levy's rye bread. Remember that.
Oh, yes. I see. Okay. Panel, says Robert. Trump, like the other Republican candidates, doesn't have a super PAC. That means he'll have to do his own attack ads in the general election without deniability the other candidates enjoy. One more strike against his eventually winning the presidency.
He'll have a super PAC by the time November rolls around.
Okay. And Bobby says, I know Libby Post was trying to be funny when she said there are no Jews in South Carolina. Anyway, when discussing whether elections can be held on days of religious observance. But I get so tired of the ignorance of New Yorkers, Jews, and others in regard to the thriving and very Jewish communities around this entire country. Just silly to perpetuate that myth. To actually believe it and dismiss many people who have found many other places where communities of Jews live happy and comfortably. Uh-huh. You tell me when to stop, will you, Joe?
Yeah, you're good. You're fine. Okay. I'm reading along.
Okay. Mike, one might look at the candidate's ability to inspire and move their followers. I acknowledge the fact that Hillary Clinton is probably the most qualified person to seek a presidential nomination. But right now, her big problem is a seemingly inability to light a fire under her supporters. That is something that Bernie Sanders seems to have done. Excuse me. I feel the fire when I listen to Bernie and he's doing without big donors and without super PACs.
Libby, go ahead.
I disagree with that. I think there are plenty of Hillary supporters who are excited and ignited and doing the work that they need to do.
I was screaming at a 10-year-old. Right. Yeah, I feel the hail.
I wouldn't say that too often.
I'm ashamed.
By the way, did you know this 10-year-old or was this some random kid in the grocery store?
No, he was my friend's grandson.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is your friend, where's your friend in this whole election?
She doesn't know yet. She actually is a Massachusetts resident who switched to Republican because she thought she could vote. She thought it was all tied up between Bernie and Hillary at the time.
I know a dirty joke that would do very well right here, but I really can't.
Yeah, let's not.
No, that's not good.
Okay. David. No, that's not David. PR. Okay. Good morning, all. Thank you always for your thought-provoking discussion. I'm interested in your thoughts about Trump's increasingly outrageous behavior, namely his comments over the weekend about dipping bullets in pig's blood, that waterboarding is minimal torture, etc. Is there any chance he's trying to actually sabotage his candidacy because he's realized he's not up to the task of running this country?
He has made fun of the handicapped. He has made fun of women in their menstrual cycles. He has made fun of
John McCain.
War heroes. He has said that we don't want to have any Muslims in the country and put
Mexicans.
Up a wall.
We don't want any of them too.
And the rapists and murderers. How much more? I mean, this has been since the beginning.
This is what the people like.
I think he's challenged. It's like a new reality game.
I mean,
what can he possibly be
to sabotage his campaign? It is working.
He can't attack the Pope.
You know, there are those people who from the beginning have said he doesn't really want to be president. Of course he wants to be president.
I think he
does. Stop it right there.
Oh, no.
That's enough of that.
The ego is...
It's too big. But and I Barbara still think says, there's a new hotel chain coming.
Trump laughed at us all the way to the bank. Now he's laughing at us all the way to the polls. The joke will be
it's
on
true.
The American people. Barbara.
It's true.
Okay. Let's see here. Bob says nothing. Okay, that's it.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We will continue with other stories that we have for you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after the short break.
Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout Western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. The Habitat for Humanity Restore, 70 Fuller Road, Albany, offering gently used furniture, appliances, building materials, and more. Donations accepted. HabitatCD.org/restore. And from Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including independent living apartments, home care, and more. 518-393-8800. Thank you.
morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Harper Lee died on Friday, 89 years old, the author of To Kill a Mockingbird, and still on the New York Times bestseller list with Go Set a Watchman, which was released controversially
did you read
last
it?
Year. I did.
And what'd you think?
I didn't like it.
Yeah, because the other one was such a great tale.
It was. It
and
was.
This didn't do good things.
I still have questions as to whether this was if it was really her wish to have this published.
An early draft, basically.
Of an early draft, and I think had it been part of an annotated version of To Kill a Mockingbird, and to look at the formation of the great American novel, that would have been a much.
Okay, so Joe, here's my question to you, because I know you're a big fan. Is she a failure because she didn't write another book aside from To Kill a Mockingbird?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think you can be a failure when you had such success with.
She never really wrote again.
Mr. Roberts.
You know,
and
it was also a very much a. There's been that criticism for years that. That Truman Capote really wrote the novel, and I always thought that was unfair.
He was not gracious when she had the big success with To Kill a Mockingbird. He was not nice about it.
And
what makes you think he's nice?
And so I don't know. No, I don't think a failure. I mean, sometimes I think you have the book in you and you write it and then you're done.
Yeah, Margaret Mitchell, isn't she?
She
only wrote one book.
Yeah.
Gone with the Wind.
But she had other things in her life. Did Harper Lee? I mean, she didn't have a.
She had a cold water flat in New York City. Mm-hmm. I read that this weekend.
Yeah, she was in Alabama, New York City, lived with her sister, and was very private. The ceremony, she died on Friday. She was buried on Saturday. It was a very small, intimate service with a few family members and her lawyer and agent.
The editor and me wants to say, okay, sit back down, get back at that typewriter and do another one. And no one did that.
Well, I can't imagine. I think a lot of people probably did that because they knew that it was money in the bank, as Ghost Set a Watchman proved. But
that it's not that. It's not the money for me. She wrote a great book. She was capable maybe of writing two. At least as the editor, I would think that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Well, I would think, Rosemary, that what you really ought to be saying is thank you very much for what you did do.
I do. I love the book.
Rather than what you didn't do. Don't you see?
Yeah.
You know, she might not have wanted. I don't think she wanted the spotlight.
She didn't want the celebrity.
And I think that probably played into not publishing another book because she didn't want.
But she didn't write them either. Pierre Salinger didn't want the spotlight. He retired and became a hermit. But he wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, so that we'll get to see it later. And he doesn't have the spotlight. There's no evidence that she did that, right?
No, and the same thing with J.D. Salinger, though.
Yeah, you said Pierre.
J.D. Pierre wanted the spotlight.
Yes.
The opposite.
Very,
problem.
Very much
right.
so.
Right.
We also lost Umberto Eco last.
Yeah.
You
read it?
Great
Italian. I have never
read
In the Name of the Rose. I'm going to read
it.
Oh,
you have to.
I have not.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting. I tried three times and never got into it.
It's a dense book.
Well, it's all, you know. It's I can't think of what it is. Is it The Marriage Plot? There's a great book about Jeffrey Eugenides, who wrote about the semiotics and this whole thing that Eco was very much into. And it is hard. It ain't easy, but he's very good.
Well, I can't match Joe in this. I'm reading Stephen King at the moment. He's like telling.
Oh, which one are you
Eco,
reading?
His Kennedy assassination.
Oh,
book.
Which is great, and being done into a miniseries and all good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to other issues. Rosemary, thank you very much for being with us. Rosemary has bow out just a few moments early because she has obligations in her classroom, and we must let her go.
Cut her pay.
That's
right. Yeah, right. Right.
No full hour. There was also the situation in Kalamazoo, searching for the motive in a spree that killed six. This was an Uber driver who was ferrying passengers for Uber on the night of the rampage in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and ultimately six were killed in between the rides.
You know, I'm a big fan of Uber.
I am too.
And, you know, it's interesting that the Uber haters take this jerk and say every headline reads Uber driver.
Yeah. It's not good.
Well, it's like Craigslist or
anything.
Yeah,
it's not good for them from a PR.
That's not what I mean. What I mean is that people are having their way with Uber because this guy happened to be an Uber driver. Well, wait a second now. You know, the yellow cab, what? No yellow cab driver ever
absolutely.
Did a bad thing?
No, he did.
He did. But the thing is that for Uber, what I'm saying is I agree with you. For Uber, this is bad PR.
Yeah.
Bad, you know, and I just wonder if anyone's going to try to hold them responsible because of the whole quasi-employee kind of nobody quite knows exactly who these people are, whether they're employees or whether they're, you know, independent contractors, and because there's all these rules that they have to follow. So it's an interesting, from that perspective. But really, bottom line is,
It's another gun.
And we need to get rid of the guns, and we just need to do something about this. It's just insane. Every day you read about gun violence in this country.
The Kalamazoo County Prosecutor Jeffrey Getting lamented the apparent randomness of the attack. They weren't targeted for any reason other than they were there to be a target.
Yeah, you know, the guy was nuts.
Yeah.
So that's all that happened. It happens again. If there's an availability of a gun, and I've just heard from a former board member of mine taking me over the coals for being, you know, where I am. And on the matter of guns, you know, it's horrible that we have all of these guns all over the place, that people, you know, are reaching into going out with their gun. And if they didn't have the gun, well, maybe it wouldn't have happened. Sorry, don't like it. Join the lumpen proletariat.
Do they apprehend this guy?
Yes, they got him.
And so he's alive and they can actually talk to
him. He's pleading this morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes, due in court in this hour, I believe. All right. So let us talk about where was I going to go? Letters. I wanted to go.
Letters.
Yes.
Sure. Yvonne says, as someone who spent some time on Facebook, I'm really shocked at the level and amount of nastiness that came coming from the Hillary campaign and Hillary supporters towards those of us who support Bernie. If Hillary is indeed the eventual nominee, and I hope she isn't, she and her followers are going to have to figure out how to reach those of us who are passionate Bernie supporters, including the under 30 crowd, whom I fear will sit out the election if Hillary is the candidate. I don't want a Trump presidency, but Hillary supporters have completely alienated people like me, and I will not be casting a vote for her with any kind of enthusiasm whatsoever, and possibly not at all. Until then, I feel the burn. Okay, and that's Yvonne. Now, a couple of things about that, right? Number one, Hillary really thought that she had a Bernie problem. There was a while that Bernie was really on the rise. And I'm sure that the advisor said to her, hey, you know, you really got to go head toe-to-toe with this guy, otherwise you're not going to make it.
I can understand the writer's comments.
Sure.
However, I don't understand how that is, if what Hillary has done is any different than any other candidate in a close race.
Yes. And what happens is eventually everybody makes up and they have a victory celebration.
Right. And Bernie will probably end up endorsing her because no one wants to see Donald Trump president. And that's what this person needs to understand.
Well, you better you better take back those words because a lot of people want to see. You said no one wants to see Donald Trump president.
No one with a brain, okay, and I'm sure you'll get lots of...
stop that.
No, I'm sorry.
That's so
I'm sorry. It is condescending, but look, these people don't think. It's the rise of the know-nothings once again, and, you know, no one on the Democratic side wants to see Donald Trump.
I hate the
broad
brush of that, though.
Yes, and you've spoken like a true, quote, liberal.
Yeah, I am.
You know, everybody who isn't with me is an idiot. You know, don't do that.
That's not right. It's not that. Look, this man is dangerous. You know that. We all know how dangerous this man is. He's a demagogue. His rhetoric borders on Hitlerian kind of speak. And he's dangerous. And we can't allow him to be president. So the Bernie folks who are upset, and there's been a lot of hate going back and forth between both camps, they just need to recognize that ultimately what's important here is putting a Democrat, whoever that might be, in the White House.
I think they will.
The Supreme Court is at stake.
I think they will. Okay, thank you to Yvonne. Okay, Jim says, I would love to know what period that Donald is referring to when he says he'll make America great again. And that's Jim from Athol, Mass., town of the same name in New York.
Yes, we do.
Rob says, Rose married a Harper Lee. Yes, but what have you done for me lately? I like that.
Got to keep them coming.
Judy says, to anyone who would call Harper Lee a failure because she wrote only one book, I would say, you should be such a failure. Okay. Paul Namum. Oh, Paul says, okay, Jews in South Carolina. I let it pass the first time. Libby demonstrated her ignorance of Jewish America.
Fine.
She what? She's the head of her shul. What are you talking about? But the second time, maybe they were talking about Rosemary. Maybe they got it wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Second
time I considered
it
offensive. Sephardic Jews settled, oh yeah, it was you, that settled in the Carolinas and other areas of the South long before the great Ashkenazi immigration of the 19th century. If they spoke Ladino rather than Yiddish, there's still a sizable number of Jews in the South. I know because they are my family. Love the show, Paul.
Okay, great.
Made everything
I'm
right.
Very happy to hear that. Because every time, on every corner, there's a cross, and it's really difficult to think that there is a presence. I know that there are Jews in the South. It's hard. It's just hard to be one.
My friend Eli Evans wrote a book called The Jews in the South. Oh, very good. Very good indeed. Okay. So says Anonymous. Better one great book than several mediocre. Okay.
Harper Lee and To Kill a Mockingbird, right?
Mm-hmm. Joe says, why does the panel express frustration at folks not voting? Why encourage folks who don't care enough to educate themselves on issues and vote with nothing in mind except political rhetoric? And by the way, that is a position that is taken by many people when they try to keep people out from the polls, mm-hmm. when they say you have to have a card, when they say you can do this or do that. That's the same kind of thinking, mm-hmm. I think. Tom says, hi, gang. Always love listening to the show. I think the way to get the youth to vote is to make voting online possible. I agree with that.
Yeah,
that's going to be a great Republican seller.
Youth
today are mostly interested in things online. And Brendan, many, many people work on weekends. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'd wager that voting on the weekend could disproportionately affect low-income workers in the service industry. Great show. Boy, people are so good to us, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, does Libby need a handler? Down, girl, says Beth.
I'm my own handler. Thank you very much.
Bill
I teach
says,
PR at the university.
Bernie will support Hillary if he loses the nomination because he is a man of integrity.
Okay.
That's right. I agree with that. Because consider
okay.
the choices. Listen, I've interviewed Bernie maybe 100 times in my life, and I got to tell you, he's made that point again and again. He's running because he wanted to make a point, because he thought the country was going in the wrong direction, and I say God bless him for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's right.
Probably time for two more letters.
Okay. Barry says, everyone extols Uber until there's an issue. True, Uber has an internet-based business model that is super friendly for people that know how to use apps. It is super user-friendly, and it is transferring the public image of the taxi service, but it avoids government regulation, and then he goes on, and I don't. And Jamie says, Uber driver, once again, the press is used to distract the public from the true problem, the real solution. This is another mucker, it says, a person who just seems to snap and therefore engage in mass violence, mucking up society. The solution is more available. Mental health services that catch this problem before it ends in disaster. Okay. Joseph, I believe, did you want...
That should do it.
Okay.
We'll wrap up our time. Thanks to the panel this morning. Rosemary, who ducked out, but Libby, who is still here. Alan is still here. Thank you very much for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow for another discussion. Thanks very much, Roundtable at WAMC.org. Have a great day, everybody.